Well, we're going to have to change that scary music to say Steve Roscoe, huh?
Wow.
This is Peter Leonard.
This is Rich Nicodem.
This is Steve Roscoe.
And David is still teaching school.
Yes, and I'm back from a short leave of absence, and it's great to be back. And we've got a great show for you tonight, don't we, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. We always have a good show.
Got so it. Am I kissing you tonight, Rich?
Or, God, I hope not.
We'll talk about the auto-correcting iPhones later. But first, we'd like to give you the call-in phone number if you'd like to call us. We'd love to hear your questions. Should probably use the right one.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Cool. We're back. Sorry about the technical difficulties, folks.
You got Peter on.
We've got Peter on it. I hope we sound good out there for you. As our sound guy at BBC said, our levels are good. So you're in store for a great show tonight. We've been very, very busy here at RIP, doing cases, events, and I'm watching Pete take notes off his iPhone for some reason. I don't know why that caught my interest, but it did. So
it's writing down her phone number.
Uh-oh.
You got a chick's phone number already on the show?
Well, we are celebrities.
Ah, that's good. You know, actually, I got an autograph and a photo taken of me at the Fulton County Museum event we did.
Awesome.
Yeah, really. I couldn't believe it either.
I love that place. That was a really good investigation. Good presentation. I'm enjoying the crowds. They're getting a lot more in-depth in their questions. They're really excited to be there. And we made them a few bucks. It was a good night.
Yeah, money well earned. Folks, not to brag, but we have a great presentation. The kind of mix with the personalities of how we present it along with the material that we have is kind of a nice rounded approach to the paranormal. And it's been very well received by audiences when we give it. Recently, we did a presentation investigation or presentation. Presentation? How do you say
presentation.
That? Presentation. Presentation. Thank you, Steve.
I don't know.
At the Fulton County Museum, and we had a blast. We've gone over all the evidence now. Hopefully, we'll come up with something really cool. The people that attended it were very well received. They said they had a great time. Pete and I had a great lecture. I mean, everyone was enjoying themselves and asked a lot of good questions. The investigation broke up into two good-sized teams, and we did all three levels, actually four levels.
Yes.
The two main ones, the basement and the attic.
It was a lot larger than I thought it was going to be. Not that it was disappointing, just a lot larger than we thought.
Folks, they have the world's largest glove there.
I would have hated to have been slapped by that thing. It was literally like 5 feet tall.
And it was leather, too. I mean, I had to reach out. I don't know if I was supposed to do that, but I had to reach out and touch the glove, but it was all leather. But it was a pretty cool place. I mean, there were a lot of old artifacts there, and they had trains. If you guys like model trains, they had a model train board set up, HO scale. It was pretty sweet. It was a great place, a very clean, very organized museum with a lot of stuff in really good shape.
That's what actually blew my mind. I mean, they had everything in there. You'd walk into the military room, it was set up like a World War I trench. Then you walk around the corner, there's a Civil War headstone. Then there was like an Indian village or something there, like a longhouse.
It was close that I've seen to the Smithsonian in this area, so.
Then they had like a death chamber or something from the jail. They had a fire engine. It's not fire engine. What do you call it? The hose car upstairs. They had all kinds of memorabilia, photographs, those dresses. Should we talk about the second floor?
Yeah, we're going to get into that, folks, a little bit later. They also had a noose that was used in the hanging of up to six people. They had on display in the museum. Frankly, and oddly enough, we really thought that we would get some evidence over investigating that area. Now, I'm still going through all my audio stuff, but so far I haven't come across anything. But I thought for sure that might be a guaranteed hit there, but at least an EVP or two. So
I just want to get back in there and have another chance at it. That was an interesting place.
I think we're going to be able to do that in due time.
And then the week before, Steve and I ripped apart Norwich over there.
Yeah, that was a good time.
It was another pretty good crowd. That was another interesting place I'd like to go back to.
Absolutely.
That crowd was also very interested in paranormal. Quite a few younger kids, too, which is good to see.
Yeah, we're becoming very well-received with the younger crowd. They seem to be very interested in it. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact, obviously, that all the TV shows out there promoting it, such as Ghost Hunters and, you know, Travel Channel show, Ghost Adventures and all those. But also, I think kids are so technology-based now with their iPhones and their computers and laptops. And being paranormal investigators, we rely on a lot of high-tech equipment. And I think that's an attraction to people. Kind of play with the toys and try to use them and tweak them to get evidence and see things. So I think that's a big attraction as well.
That and you gave him free t-shirts.
Yeah, I did give him free t-shirts, which everyone was really happy about, and free posters. As a matter of fact, all the posters I had for Ghost Hunters with the Jason and Grant on them were gone. I didn't bring any of those back, and I had a stack of them. And they put a few up in the museum too as well, I noticed. So that was actually pretty good. So while we're talking about ghosts and stuff, since it's only a few days before Halloween, let's talk about the 8 signs of how you know your house is haunted. You guys want to get into that?
I guess.
Okay. So maybe we should email this little memorandum to the people who contact us about doing paranormal investigations. So this is kind of the checklist. If you have something like this going on, then maybe you should call a paranormal investigator. You should get on the phone and call Steve Roscoe.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for.
Especially at 2:30 in the morning.
Yes. He loves those 2:30 in the morning calls.
My phone is off at 2:30 in the morning.
All right. Let's just jump right into this. Okay. Let's start with number 10. You ready for this?
All right.
Unexplained noises. Now, Steve, you're the case manager. You field all the calls, set up the consultations. Do unexplained noises ever come into it when people are telling you some of the things that are going on?
A lot of times. Strange walking up and down the stairs, things being knocked over.
You're jumping ahead of us, but that's okay.
Just sounds.
Just sounds, Steve. Just sounds.
Oh, absolutely, though. It varies. It varies. So.
Well, you know, normal houses have settling noises.
Oh, absolutely.
I can attest.
Yep.
I have an older house, and they come from the ceiling and the basement and the walls.
Oh, sure.
But at haunted houses, often there's weird knocking, banging sounds that are emanating from closets, floors, or basements. I mean, obviously, it could be something such as a squirrel or settling or a pipe, but then again, it could be something paranormal. Then there's other signs that are a little bit more obvious, like household items move by themselves. Your keys fly across the room, or chairs levitate in the room spinning around. That's not so easy to explain.
No, matter of fact, I had a call a couple weeks ago, and a lady said that a glass baking dish zipped by her head and missed her head by like inches, shattered all over the house, all over the kitchen.
Sure, it wasn't her angry husband?
Oh, it might have
threw
been.
It at her?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Why don't we ever get that stuff on film? Not the angry husband, the flying dish.
But because when that happens, you know what's going to happen. None of the equipment will work. You know that.
Yeah. When there's ever the opportunity for great picture, we're never prepared for it, which is most of the case. The next one is bizarre shadows, and this is something that Pete comes across a lot. In my investigations with Pete, I've seen a lot of shadows. I don't know if it's because I'm investigating with him or if it's the location, but I mean, we're talking outside of the normal shadow that's cast from somebody walking in. We're talking about shadows growing and moving, and then we see them run across balconies when, you know, there's a couple people in the room just standing still. Those kind of shadows.
Well, I'll tell you, ever since you started using the EM pump, I've been seeing more and more shadows and more things associated with that. But yes, ever since I was a little kid, I've seen a lot of shadow-type movement, shadow people. Never that full-blown apparition yet. I don't think I'm in that much of a hurry to see one, but it'd be cool once.
That's the Holy Grail. That is the Holy Grail, to see a full visible apparition. Not a shadow, but all the details of
absolutely
of a human being.
You know, when you have IBS, you don't want to get that kind of scared.
This is one that I can attest to. The next one here, strange behavior from kids or pets. my dog acts strange all the time, so I don't know how you can attest that to the paranormal, but when they start barking at walls or looking up the stairs and barking, or the kids have imaginary friends. I mean, now we're talking about that. I have a couple of friends that have kids, and they're always talking about how their kids have imaginary friends. Is that something you think that's really paranormal? Do you think a lot of kids go through that stage?
I think it could be either one, but I think it's a lot. The kids go through a certain stage in their life that between certain ages, they just go through, you know, Mom, look, I got an imaginary friend. But you always, my view is this, it's fine to have an imaginary friend, but if your child's coming up to you and saying, I'm talking to little Bobby, and little Bobby lived here years and years and years ago, a long time ago, you might want to start paying attention to your child.
Or if the child has a name for it other than Bobby, that could be the name of someone who lived there before, a gentleman or a woman, yes, first and last name.
Absolutely.
And there's no way that child would have found out unless researching through the periodicals mm-hmm. at the library or doing some history data analysis. Then you yep. start to think, something's going on.
We did have that one case a few years ago. I won't go into too much detail, but with a little child who was seeing something, and doctors were saying that the child had medical problems and mental problems. They wanted to start her on a battery of medicine. Family called us in at the request, I think it was their aunt or something. Her aunt went in, and stuff just started happening in front of us that we could document. And I remember them saying, if you didn't come here, we would never have believed this. Mm-hmm. So did we save that child from a life of drugs that they didn't need to be on? I mean, that's makes me happy that we accomplished something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, anytime you can help a child with anything, it's always, it makes you feel good, and it gives a family peace of mind sometimes. Most of the time, they'll call if things are going on, but they're not that concerned. They'll take their time. But whenever there's a child involved, they usually get on the phone, and they want somebody to come over right away, and they want a solution right away. And they're scared. They're scared for their kids.
In any case involving a child, that jumps immediately to the front of my list, no matter what we have going on.
Absolutely.
If somebody calls me and says, my child, I think, is in danger, I don't care if we have a very important event going on, we drop it and we get there.
Now, you also mentioned animals. I guess if Dr. David was here, he'd touch on and tell you the animal's eye structure and why they can see things we can't based on the infrared. I'm sorry.
For another
peace
show.
Channeling Dave.
I had beans for dinner. No, but the fact that animals can see the infrared spectrum that we can't, except for the corner of our eye, which is why if we say you see something out of the corner of your eye, you probably did.
True. It's part of, I think the way it was explained to me is that your peripheral vision is part of your Neanderthalic vision where you had back when you were a caveman or ancestors had cavemen or whatever. And as we evolved and we started focusing on our immediate vision, that we never lost that peripheral vision, that it helped what protect us from predators sneaking up on us or something like that. I mean, Dr. Dave went in a whole dissertation one night about this. And
also sun damage, too. That's
yes, and sun damage, too, as well. So. Okay, so moving on anyways, in regards to beans and cavemen and stuff like that, the feeling of being watched is another one that I know we get all the time. When people contact us for help, they're always telling them, I have the feeling of being watched. Now, that can be something that's paranormal. It can also be high EMF, too, as well. So it could be something that's environmental that's not paranormal that's going on. The next one is terrifying and reoccurring dreams. That seems to be one that I've heard a few times from people. And that's so tough to pinpoint down and say it's paranormal or it's something else, or the person was drinking or using drugs or just, you know, prone to having bad dreams. I mean, where do you kind of figure out where you're on the borderline between paranormal and somebody just having a bad dream?
That's true, but again, you know, we've gotten them phone calls where people start having random dreams about loved ones, and you know, especially if they've never met them, and like realistic dreams to the point that or they have the dream and then find out later that this was so-and-so that they never met.
That would be...
pay attention, I guess.
The one case you're talking about up north, up in Woodgate.
Where that was one, yes.
Yeah, where the children are basically having dreams of their grandfather
yes.
all the time. and there was no paranormal activity that was actually happening in the house that the homeowner would tell us about. Then we did the investigation, and boy, did we find a gold mine of paranormal activity. So, all right, this
and
is.
And the sausage bread was phenomenal.
Yeah, Pete remembers all the good cases based on the food. So, well, the next one is actually something that we can all basically discuss, and that's when electronic devices spontaneously turn on. I mean, the walkie-talkie thing that we had, the evidence is part of our lecture. We actually have the opposite, too, where they turn off, where all of a sudden things will go dead when you put fresh batteries in it, which drives Pete crazy because he always complains about the price of batteries.
Pet peeve.
So, and that's one of the reasons why I got that EM pump, because the way it was explained to me about the EM pump, it was used as a sacrificial battery.
Yes.
So hopefully they could draw off of that.
Absolutely.
But you know what? That takes batteries, too. It takes like four AAA, and those aren't cheap either. So
it might save
the camera equipment and stuff, but it certainly takes a drain on my EM pump. So.
When somebody calls and they say to me, well, you know, my TV turned on the other night or my radio turned on the other night, I usually just ask them, do you have a timer on your TV? Because a lot of the new TVs, radios nowadays have that timer. Some people play around with their TV, don't realize they set it, and their TVs go on and off.
Or time and time again, equipment failure. How many times have you seen me swearing because I can't get the Tascam to turn on? I'm like almost pushing the on button to the point where I'm snapping it in half. It doesn't come on. You go outside the residence, one click, it's on. It's like, what?
Yep.
Camera's not focusing. I mean,
or even sometimes when we do our presentations, we can't get the computer or the PowerPoint to agree with us.
Well, that could be me.
Well, John Zappas had the same thing when he did that one time at the Halbert House.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
So, I mean, either he shares the same kind of really bad technical skills that we do, or he just had some issues. And the last one here on the list, folks, is unexplained writings. And what I mean by that is essentially you have a steamy shower door and all of a sudden the words die come on there written like with a fingertip.
I've never had a caller say that to me. I've never had a caller say I was taking a shower and the word die or any word that I went, you know, now that you said that, I will get a ton of them.
Well, you know what? That's usually what you see in the horror movies. Any of the horror movies, you'll see the writing on the foggy mirrors in the bathrooms and on the shower doors. On the foggy car windows. You're right. I've never heard of anyone ever claiming that.
Me either.
That would be something really cool to see.
Yeah.
As much as an apparition, actually see the writing start out of nowhere.
That depends. That depends if it's happening to me. No, I don't want to see it.
Well, folks, if you have any of those 8 signs, I added a few on my own, sorry, 8 signs your house is haunted, then you should call a paranormal investigation team.
Well, 9 would be if you wake up and there's a head floating right near your bed. That would
right.
be.
That's a good hint. That's a real good hint.
Okay, and 10 would be a full body apparition walks down your hallway. So, folks, if you see that, you've got some paranormal activity, call a paranormal investigation team.
Preferably us.
Preferably RIP.
We have people on the ground. We're here to help you. We respond to any and all emergencies with the utmost of urgency.
Just call Steve Roscoe, 24/7.
Or if you're having an emergency now, you can call in toll-free from the United States or Canada. Our call-in number is 1-888-429-5471, and Steve would love to take your call right now.
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you think? Should we take a short break?
I guess we can take something. I'll find one of these clips here that does something. How about this one?
Are now open in North America. Call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
So call us. Didn't I just say that?
I think you did.
Call us now.
Well, I, for one, am glad to be doing a radio show tonight and not running around. This has been a crazy season.
Amen.
Not that I'm unhappy with it. It's just been a crazy season. It was the kind of year that we all dream about, and then when it's here, it's like, oh, boy.
This is our Christmas sometimes, but it's just been overly busy this year. And folks, we mean with a lot of different things. We mean cases, events that we're doing. RIP does a lot of public events. Not only that, we have a team that we've been expanding and trying to get people trained and interview more candidates to come on board. So it's been really busy.
Especially the last 2 weeks, we've had to split the team to actually go do multiple events all at once. I'm proud of everyone. And if you think that was something, wait till the spring and summer get here. We're already working on that. We didn't even take a rest. We have momentum going. We got things going all over the state of New York we're working on.
Yeah, we've really expanded. I mean, those of you who are not familiar with Rome, it's a small community. It's a nice little town. It's kind of Utica and Rome are kind of like brother and sister cities. And we've expanded so far beyond that. We're going out to Oswego, Gloversville. I mean, we're going to Buffalo. We're going all over the place.
Norwich, downstate, upstate, Lake George. I'd love to get into Gettysburg, though. I'm working on that. That would be a lifetime achievement award for me if we could get in there.
There you go.
Some of the outer buildings on the park surface.
That would be great.
And we're also talking about planning on investigating some large historical places such as like Waverly, Lizzie Borden House,
Buffalo Naval.
Buffalo Naval Yard, and several others too as well. And I'd like to get out to actually Stanley, Colorado. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yes.
Itself to get some really good data. So, anyways. You know, September kicked things off really hard for us. We started with ScaraCon, where Pete and Dave did a lecture, and the RIP team was there at our booth, meeting with people and other groups that were there, enjoying the festivities. And then after that, we progressed into presentations, and, you know, Steve's always managing our caseload of investigations, and we're getting to the point now where we've got to send two teams out because we're getting scheduling them from the same day.
Yes. So, we talked to at least 400 people at the Shopping Town Mall over this past weekend. I hope you're ready.
Yeah, so tell us about that a little bit, because actually I want to know for my own information, because, I mean, I really discussed that with you. What went on there?
It was actually a psychic fair that they were putting on, and we were billed as the Central New York's premier ghost hunting agency, so of course we had
nice.
To go there. We set up a table, just as we always do. We have our handouts, and we're available to talk to anybody who wants to talk to us. Everybody has a story. That's the one thing we've always said over the years. Everybody always has a story. First thing they do is they walk by that big obnoxious 8-foot banner that we put out right in everyone's face, so they know that we're there.
We definitely have the graphics to show off. I mean, Dr. Dave took good care of us with that stuff.
Then they point at it and they're like, is that for real? I was like, well, if we spent all this money on banners and t-shirts,
I hope it is real, yes.
And then they come over, and inexplicably, they always say, you're going to think I'm nuts. I'm like, well, we got you beat out. I mean, again, we're walking around with an 8-foot banner.
Look at us.
But no, I mean, we heard a lot of interesting things. There's a few people I do hope they call us back, especially the, I don't know if they were brothers or not in Syracuse. Please call us back. I'd like to take your 10-minute challenge to see if we can stay in that room. They apparently have a room in their house that nobody can stay more than 10 seconds in.
Why? What happens?
Few people, I believe, have been scratched, and everybody who's in there has run out. They've heard voices tell them to get out and things like that. So,
and this is in Syracuse?
Yep. And the guy actually reminded me of Mike. I mean, our own Mike.
Right.
It's like the longer you would talk to him, the more would come out, and The next thing that would come out was so much more special than the previous thing. But not that I don't believe them. I believe them entirely. It's just once people gain your confidence, that's when they start talking about what's going on.
Well, we're ready for the 10-minute challenge, so.
There was also the gentleman who stopped at our booth to tell us that he spoke in tongues. And then he did that for 10 minutes. I let Vinny and Mark handle that one. It actually, to me, actually sounded like Latin. If I had to put an actual language to it, it sounded like Latin.
Oh, then he actually spoke in the... Okay.
And we're not making fun. It's just people come up to you out of the blue. We never know what people are going to talk about. And a lot of people, they would just share their stories about their home being haunted or this, that, and the other thing. Also, that sorority in Syracuse, if you want us to do an event, we are available.
We are all available.
Absolutely. I'm ready.
We're Hollywood. No.
No, but we've been very busy doing a lot of the public events, and someone said to me, it's great that you're doing all these public events, but are you still working cases? You still find the time to help people? And why the public events? Well, it's very simple. First of all, our team is, we feel our team is at a good level now. We're big enough where we can balance out the public stuff along with the private stuff. And to be honest, when we do these presentations, it's kind of educating the public about what we do, as well as kind of encouraging those who might not want to come forward and say they have some problems or need some help, but maybe come out, meet with us, and see that, you know, we're just, you know, everyday people that just want to help, and maybe they'll lower their guard down and come talk to us about investigation. And again, it's we're building, hopefully, you know, future ghost hunters, because there's a lot of young kids and that go to these things, and a lot of teenage guys and girls that go, and they're into it, and they, some of them have their own audio recorders and, you know, that kind of thing. But the one thing that never ceases to amaze me when we do an investigation, when we announce it, you know, and even when the venue announces it, lecture, an investigation till midnight, nobody brings a flashlight. It's like, anybody got a flashlight? And they just all look at each other in surprise.
Some of our own group don't bring flashlights.
I know.
Well, we do it in the dark. Why do you need a flashlight?
Well, to be really honest with you, I think my senses are keen enough where I could investigate with just a flashlight, you know, and try to capture something just with, you know, your ears and your eyes and your senses. But, I mean, if I had to pick two things that I would take to every single investigation, let me change that. Three things I could take to investigation. I would take a flashlight, my audio recorder, and my new favorite toy, the EM pump. And that would be good. How about you, Pete?
Buffalo Wild Wings, a change of underwear, and a flashlight.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you got to have something to eat. And then, you know, if I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings, I'm taking the Atomic Challenge. So then it's just our Blazing Challenge.
You never pass it either, do you? Have you passed it yet?
No.
Okay.
No, I would do flashlight, recorder, and probably the Frank's box. Only because I get such weird stuff over that.
Pete's amazing with that Frank's box. I mean, he gets more stuff out of it, and it gets to the point where it starts swearing at him all the time.
Doesn't like you.
Yeah, there's somebody on that other side.
Just doesn't not like you.
Well, we have a phone call. We have Helen on line number two.
Helen. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Doing well. What's your question for us tonight?
I was wondering do you think that a loved one who is deceased can come to you in your dreams?
The question from Helen is, do you think if a loved one is deceased that they can come to you in your dreams?
I would say absolutely. I mean, I've actually lost both of my parents, and there have been numerous times that I've had dreams about them. And it's, I don't really call them dreams, because it's as if I'm there, we're talking to each other. There was one time I even met my great-grandparents, who obviously passed away a long time before I was born. But not to make that sound sensational, but do I believe that deceased people can come to you in a dream and talk to you? Yes. I don't know about the other guys here, what their take is.
Well, it's actually, Helen, never happened to me. This is Rich, by the way. However, we did an investigation where the homeowner approached us and said that her grandkids were staying the night, and they kept having dreams about their grandfather. And this prompted her enough to contact us to have us come in and do an investigation. So, and then we did get evidence. I mean, to the point where we've actually seen shadows, got some great EVPs. We had some experiences. Some people ended up getting touched and some other things. So, yeah, I support Pete that I believe so, too, as well.
Yes, I lost my son, and I dream about him. And not always, just a couple of times, but it is so intense, and I never sleep that hard unless I'm having that type of dream. Hello? No, I can't hear you no more.
Oh, Helen. Oh, yeah. You're there?
Yes.
Okay, she's back. Okay, Pete was saying something to you. Try Pete.
Oh, I was wondering, when you have these dreams with your son, which we're sorry about, by the way, do you actually just wake up normally? Do you wake up like you jump back into your body, like you're having trouble breathing? Does anything associate with that?
It's extremely intense. I can't explain it any other way. It's very intense and comforting at the same time.
In the realm of what they would call astral travel, sometimes it is possible that they say that you can cross over dimensions in your sleep involuntary, and he might be drawing you into the dimension where he's at. So, I mean, that is one theory. But as Rich said... Oh, sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, like Rich had said, those children were dreaming of their grandfather, whom they've never met. But then on the actual investigation, he actually was coming through the spirit box, answering questions that only the client knew answers to, which validated to us that he must actually have been visiting the children.
Yeah, when there's questions that are answered that we had no knowledge to, and they come through the spirit box as clear as day. As a matter of fact, we were actually having the homeowner ask us to ask the question, so, you know, we weren't making anything up. And, you know, again, it just, to me, verified the fact that gave proof to what the kids were experiencing. And then there's other things that we found too as well. But yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, like Pete said, I mean, there's a whole science to it. And, you know, the astral travel thing is something I haven't really looked into. I actually have a book on it, but I've never read it.
I mean, I
think I'm going to have to get one, and I thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good night.
And if you'd like to call in, our number is 1-888-429-5471. And me personally, I like hearing stories like that, that loved ones do actually reach out and touch out to those left behind. That is always a comforting feeling.
Well, I think humans have a strong emotional bond, you know, in our subconscious. And I think, I mean, again, when I first got involved in the group, I was very skeptic. I didn't really know what to believe. And, you know, and people were telling me stories and this and that and all this stuff happening. People levitating and listening to John Zaffis tell me demons and people's eyes rolling in, turning black and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to go out, join a group, do some investigations and see some of this for myself. And you know what? The more we do, the more I've been involved in the group, the more strong I feel in life after death. The more strongly I feel that when people die, they're still there. They're just in, I don't know if you want to call it a different dimension, a different state of consciousness, or whatever, but they're still there.
Well, you could keep that demon stuff home, sir.
Yeah. No demons allowed. We have a policy. It's on our website under rules and regulations and policies. No demons allowed.
No demons allowed.
Nope.
But no, very good question. Thank you.
Well, we probably should take a short break and come back. So we'll be back at you here in 3 minutes or
so
less.
Dr. David has this labeled as 30 minutes.
Wow.
Visit us online.
Wow, we're back.
We're back.
That's a quick 3 minutes,
Rich. That was the fastest 3 minutes.
Man, ever. I'll tell you.
Oh, you were taking 3 minutes?
I was going to take a bathroom break. I guess.
Well, when you got to go, you got to go.
Well, caller. That's called Pete playing with the computer.
It's just like trick or treat.
He's going to be up all night just doing different sound effects and burping into the microphone and recording it. And
he's like a kid in a candy shop.
Beatboxing.
Oh, you definitely need to record a beatbox track.
Well, speaking of that, Rich, now that we have some free time coming up, what we're going to do is we're going to get the newsletter up and running in full effect again. We already got the Vince on that. We got about 12 articles plus some stuff we have from the last newsletter that we never actually got out. Things happened. Obviously, the radio show, we've been thinking about maybe expanding this to prime time.
The look I just got from Steve was...
I'm not sure the world is prepared for RIP on prime time.
Oh, I don't know.
Especially with this cast.
Wait a minute. Isn't 8:30 or 8 o'clock considered prime time?
I don't know. Half of this area is in bed after Jeopardy.
Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, and then it's bedtime.
That's what they said. If you're ever going to advertise, that's the time slot around here. But, in addition, we're working on the public events. We're also going to work on some other fun stuff. We're going to get that YouTube channel up and running once and for all, so you can all see what we did to Steve in Moravia.
Oh, great. I think next show I'm going to bring a camera, and I'm going to have a couple clips, put it on YouTube of us doing the show. What do you guys think about that?
I'm not sure YouTube is ready to see our mugs.
I know we got radio faces, but come on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty. Look at this mug. You could put a handle on the side of this.
Folks were good looking on the radio. Trust me.
But no, it's all part of our education. We want to get out there and make sure people... We don't mind if you do it and compete against us. Just do it right. But if you want to get something started, you know, we're more than happy to help. And that's what it's all about. We'd rather have people learn the right way than... We've made mistakes, too. I mean...
In Norwich, wasn't one of the people that came up to us wanting to start his own group?
Yes.
So I think you know, like you said, as long as you do it the right way.
And we work with a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah, we do. We work with we're one of those friendly groups that likes to work with other friendly groups and collaborate, if you will. And unfortunately, not everyone in the paranormal is like that. But there are a lot of good people. There's a lot of good groups, and you know, certainly, you know, we get. Cases referred to us by other groups, and you know, we're very thankful for that they trust us in doing that, as well as public events too. Actually, we've had another group that actually handed over some public, their public events to us.
That's
to
excellent.
Take over. So we must be doing something right.
Well, we look good. We do it in the dark. No, but it's all about the education and helping out. It's always about the helping out. That's our intent.
That's the most important thing.
Like the two historical societies, I mean, maybe the amount of money that was raised wasn't much, but that was a significant amount for them, and it's...
Absolutely.
So we have Mike on line two.
Hello. Hello, hey, Pete and Dr. Prospero.
Oh, Dr. With us tonight. It's Rich and Steve and Pete. How are you tonight?
Okay, sorry, Rich and Steve. I've been listening to your show. It's kind of interesting. You have a very laid-back manner of talking. I was wondering, what do you guys think of the, I think it's the Sci-Fi Channel Ghost Mind show?
Ghost Mind? I you know what? Let me repeat the question back to everybody. The caller is asking us, what is our opinion or our view on the show Ghost Mind? Pete, why don't you chime first?
I actually was one of the people that was in one of the, what do you want to call that, casting calls for that show. But having seen it, I'm grateful that I never got called back. In the world of the paranormal television, there's a good deal of entertainment to it. When people like Jason and Grant started Ghost Hunters, they were educating people. They still educate people. They helped me that I wasn't crazy. John Zaffis came out with The Haunted Collector. I learned things from each show that I watch with John. Ghost Mine, I've seen about four episodes, and other than like the Tommyknockers and like the real life, what do you want to call it, hauntings that go on in mines, it's all right. It was sort of like, well, I don't want to bring a reference into Deep South Paranormal. But, Steve.
So basically what you're saying is that Ghost Mine is more or less an entertainment value type of show where they're just trying to achieve ratings?
I think in some views that is the truth. You know, I've watched it a few times. I mean, it seems to me that they actually exercise solid paranormal, you know, methodology when they're doing their things. Not really so sure what the paranormal has to do with mining, why it's so important and it's connected, and there's a show about it. But
do you think they're actually faking some of that stuff?
I don't see that.
guys, I'm sorry, I can't hear anything.
Are you still there?
Yes, there's. There's like a ghost on the line. I don't know what to say. It's an odd sound coming through.
If it's not, we apologize. Even though sound engineer said that are awesome.
And with the faking evidence, I mean, that's like an internet sensation. They say every team fakes evidence. There's always going to be that core group of people out there that say everything is fake. Until you've actually had a real paranormal experience and you experience it yourself, which also brings the other flip of the coin. We're not there. We don't know what's really happening. All we're going based on is their reliability and credibility as a group, and we're assuming that it's reliable.
Absolutely. I have never seen this.
Okay, thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Have a great night, caller.
You too. Bye.
I mean, I personally wouldn't tempt fate being in a mine that far underground.
But you know what? That brings up an interesting question. We've had that asked to us before. Not on the radio show, but, you know, I guess faking paranormal evidence. Now, what I can tell you based on my knowledge, and this is just my knowledge, that a lot of times when these TV show crews like Ghost Hunters and Haunted Collector, and Pete knows this as well, as he was involved in the actual production of an episode on Haunted Collector, that they're there for a long time. I mean, when they did the investigation and aired the show on the Hallbert House, they were there. Were they there about a week?
Yeah, it was a good week, actually.
A good solid week. And all you saw on there was a half hour worth of the show. If even that, you have to take into consideration the commercials. So they really had to delete tons and tons of stuff out of there. So after one full week of filming, and they work long hours too. It's not like 3 hours here, 2 hours there. They go for a long period of time. You know, there's a good possibility that with all that footage, they're going to find something if the location truly does have paranormal activity. As far as faking it, I mean, I've seen stuff on YouTube. I mean, I've gone there and seen here's, you know, such and such faking it, watch this again. But, you know, I watch those, and I still can't look at it and say, oh, yeah, there it is. You know, it's still, to me, it's like, I don't know. You know, it's like somebody basically, how do we know that people didn't plant something on, you know, in the YouTube video itself to make it do that?
We know TV's for entertainment, but we would really hate to think that that's really happening. Somebody's really out and out faking something.
I mean, there is a website out there actually dedicated to discrediting paranormal investigators. I won't mention it, but... And that's another thing. It's like, why would you spend all this time and money trying to disprove everything that everybody says
exactly.
out there? If
exactly.
you don't believe it, just forget it and walk away
that's
and
right.
do something more productive.
Do something you enjoy doing with your time instead of trying to rain on somebody else's parade.
Well, I personally know Jason Hawes, Steve Gonzalez, and John Zaffis, and many other ones. I'm telling you right now, based on my experience in dealing with these guys, they're not faking anything. You know,
right.
they're
Absolutely.
Out there working hard, trying to help people. They're trying to do a television show, which is a lot of work. And trust me, I just don't see those guys being like that at all. So, and again, I've seen the YouTube videos, and they're like, watch again, is this string is pulled? And I'm still like, what string? It looks like a line. I mean, let's face it. With the right video editing software, anyone could go in and just
right.
mock up anything and make it look like it's faked.
And to me, that was always the problem with the UFO and the alien stuff. It's
exactly.
so easy to Photoshop stuff
yeah.
in. Well, that is a question that comes up at presentations, and that's a realistic answer we give people. We're like, well, I can't tell you the paranormal's real. After 30 years of experiences myself and 12 years with RIP, I mean, I've come no further to giving you an answer than I had when I first had an experience.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I've seen some bizarre, crazy, and interesting stuff, but...
You just don't know.
Each person
Absolutely.
Has their own journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that we don't... I mean, we dismiss. We look at it. We can't explain it. We know it's something that wasn't there or a sound we can't identify. But we don't immediately go, oh, that's a ghost or that's something paranormal. We just dismiss it. We only provide the evidence that we can say without a doubt that this is something that we feel could be paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be clear. It's got to be concise. And we have to rule out all the other technical, you know, things that happen in the environment, such as somebody in the background, light, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. So, I mean, God knows how much stuff we throw out. Is that paranormal? it could be. If it could be, don't use it.
And Steve and I even talked about this the last radio show. It's all about helping the client. We don't charge. There's nothing we can charge for. The only thing we're providing to them is some level of comfort and empowering them to take their home back or take their life back or just give them the validation that, yeah, there's something here. Okay, thank you. And
exactly.
Job well done. I mean.
You know, and then there's those cases that we do where we help the folks, tell them what to do. They do it. All the paranormal activity stops. And it's almost as if they miss it or they want it back. And so they do whatever it is to bring whatever objects back into the house. Everything starts again. And then the phone call back to Rip saying, please come help us. We're having more problems. And then we go into the house and we find certain set objects or certain set things all back in place. And, you know, at that point in time, what can you do for them? You know,
you can't do anything. You know, if the homeowner, you know, like you said, wants that to happen, then they're going to happen. Whether it's they want attention or what have you, you know, it's nothing we can do.
Yeah, and the other thing is worth mentioning here. I heard this again when we were at Fulton. There was a couple talking about a friend of theirs' house that was having some paranormal activity. They explained it to me, and they said that a group came and said it was a demon. Now, how can you basically say anything is a demon? It's beyond my comprehension. Well, somebody got scratched. So that means it's a demon? Exactly. Does anyone actually even know what a demon is? I mean, that's a question maybe well better answered by somebody like John Zaffis or, you know, somebody like that. But, I mean, I get a kick out of that. People say I got scratched or I smelled something. It's a demon.
If I had a dollar since I've been with the team, for every time somebody has said, I think I have a demon in my house, I think each and every one of us would have over $1 million in their bank account. It's just something that really doesn't happen. I've never seen it. I don't know if you two have, but I have never seen anything.
It is real, and well, someone like John would tell you, you have to invite it in, and then there's a specific chain of events that lead up to what you have.
Right.
It's not just going to come to your door and say, hello, can I come in? I'm a demon.
Right. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I've never seen it. So.
Well, folks, and we as a group also understand pretty much what we can do and what we can't do. We know our limits. And when we're up against something that we can't identify, we can't assist anybody with, we have some connections. We know who to reach out to take the case higher up the scale to somebody. But we're not going to basically give you opinions. We're just going to give you recommendations. And if there's something that we can't figure out on our own, well, then we're going to refer you to somebody who can help you. It's about helping you. It's not about our pride or trying to put the puzzle together, figure out if it's a demon, an evil spirit, or this or that. It's about finding answers for you.
It's also how we learn as a group, too. So.
Exactly.
And that's almost the same reaction we get when we do the public investigations and we just hand equipment out to people and say, okay, you're investigating. We're watching you. Huh? But, yeah, demons. I not to get into a religious debate with that. I mean, it depends on what part of the country you're in. I mean, I would say down south and Midwest, everything is a demon.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're at in upstate New York, I mean, that's... People probably laugh at that. They most people I talk to, they're like, bring a demon on, I'll punch him right in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the upstate mentality.
I've had that through a friend of mine that thinks that all we're talking to is demons. But, you know, I don't know.
Again, we no longer have the answers today than we had 100 years ago.
Absolutely.
And that's the other thing we always say. That's the other resurging thing. We're a scientific investigation group. Well, science would almost dictate that you'd be able to reproduce all of this activity in a laboratory setting. I don't think anybody's capable of doing that at this point.
Absolutely not.
You can have sound scientific principles and work on hypotheses and all that, but to actually bring a location into laboratory conditions...
Now we're getting all Big Bang Theory now.
I know. I'm all Sheldonoscopy over here.
Sheldon.
Sheldonoscopy.
Sitting here with Sheldon and Raj, or whatever his name is. Raj. So, yeah. But
you almost got me to do it in an Indian voice. that would end it in some problems.
Yeah.
Which, that too, by the way, has been a fantastic season already. I love it.
anyone who loves technology, I mean, everyone's is a geek inside someplace. You know what I'm saying? I'm one. I love it. I love that show. I love technology. Love the internet, video games, comic books, all that cool stuff. It's all part of my culture. You know what I mean? And, you know, I get a kick out of people like, oh, I mean, being a geek 10, 15 years ago was like, you know, you get bullied or, you know, things like that. But now being a geek is like a cool thing to be nowadays. It's hip. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
Oh,
are you
I'm
hip, so, Steve?
No, well, yeah, I guess.
Well, yes or no?
All right.
Yes, or
yes
you are.
I'm a geek. Yes, I'm a Star Trek person.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Steve's hip also.
See if we bring you to the sorority then.
Leave those two guys out. We just want Pete. Want that man hunk Pete.
I'm speechless.
Man,
I'm not a man hunk.
Well, he
dear
sent
Lord.
Me a text and he wanted to kiss me for crying out loud.
Did he really?
Yeah. Then he blames it on autocorrect.
Well, just before last week's or 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, yeah, the last show.
2 weeks
I'm
ago.
I'm all flustered now.
The man
getting all red in the face
speak.
About it. It's okay, dude.
Richard's like, I'm not going to be able to make the radio show tonight. So I text him back saying, I'm going to miss you, which actually autocorrected to, I'm going to kiss you.
I hate autocorrect. I really do.
And I was like, what? The question mark.
And then it did it again. I'm like, well, what's not to kiss about you? That's when I just stopped.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Pete, put the phone down. Enough.
It's a legal weapon.
It was a bromance for a few minutes.
There you go.
Yeah. It's over.
God, I wish Duck Dynasty would come up with some kind of paranormal show. That would be fantastic, too.
Yes.
That's another show I've never seen Duck Dynasty in.
You never seen Duck Dynasty?
No. Never seen that one with Sheldon in it.
Deep South Paranormal, did you ever see that?
Nope.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. I thought you bought a brand new TV, like a 87-inch 3D flat screen.
Well, it's 45-inch, but it's 3D, yes. I just... Between all my rip work and everything, you guys keep me too busy to watch TV.
Oh, man. You listen.
We only work you 8 days a week. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, we're going to have to give some of that work to some of the people in the group that complain that we don't give them anything to do.
That's a good point. So we're going to be up to 20 members if they all make it through the...
If they all live through
rigorous,
Halloween.
The rigorous challenge, rip yes. challenge.
Folks, we put our new members to a very rigorous training program. They're on a Wheaties diet. They have to do calisthenics and go to the weight training sessions we have, RAP fitness plan.
Hell Week is a week of me telling jokes and
yep.
Mike smoking
absolutely.
That cigar.
Oh, that bad cigar. We have a nickname for it, but I can't say it on the radio. I'm sorry.
It's Anise.
Now, we've got a good group of people. And,
yes, we do.
You know, guys and girls alike and all very dedicated. And I think what we'll do is once in a while we'll bring in one of the members on the radio show. Let them,
good idea.
Give their fill on things. But we got a few that are really hustling. They really want to, like,
you know, a lot of our new people
their,
are
their
really
weight.
Busting chops, I'll tell
absolutely.
You.
Lord knows Larry was the best part of all of our presentations this season, his dancing there.
You guys told me about the dancing, but when I seen it, I almost died. It was absolutely hysterical.
Well, believe it or not, gentlemen, we tore through another hour.
Wow, that went quick.
Oh, that did go quick.
And we actually talked about something paranormal tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
Well, I thank both of our callers for calling in. It always makes it interesting. Keeps us on our feet.
Absolutely. Thank
yes,
you
it
for
does.
Challenging us tonight. We appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you, callers.
And on that note, I guess I'm signing off as Dr. David DeProspero and
Bye.
Peter Leonard.
Just Trump.
I was going to say Peter Leonard, too. I'm Steve Roscoe.
And I'm Rich Nickett. I'm glad to be back. And we will see you again in... See you. Yes. We'll
two
hear
weeks.
You again.
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Join us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.